Beyond the Dark on Radio City 96.7 and City Talk 105.9.
Ladies and gentlemen, we love going across to America because, I don't know, everything seems to happen in America. Let's say hello to Tom Kerry. Hiya, Tom.
Hey, Peter, how are you?
Tell us who Tom is.
Oh, Tom is a 70-year-old male who is retired but is doing Roswell research for the last 20 years and loving every minute of it. And I never thought when I started 20 years ago that I would still be researching the case today and still loving every minute of it.
Now, why is it still being researched? Why is it? Are you finding out new facts?
Yes. The number one, it's a great mystery. I love mysteries, and this is a mystery left over to us from the 20th century that's still... It's solved in my mind, but in the public's mind, I believe that they're betwixt and between, that they don't know what to make out of the Roswell case. We're trying to find absolute proof of its reality. As you know, absolute proof can be of two types, physical evidence, which we are searching for assiduously as we speak, or testimony that would stand up in a court of law. We got mega testimony as to the extraterrestrial nature of the Roswell incident from the investigations of myself and several other civilian investigators over the past 25 years. So we're still trying to find the Holy Grail, as we call it, the that piece of physical evidence that will stop the show.
Tom,
you know what I mean?
Tell all my listeners briefly the story of Roswell.
Well, Roswell was a one-day story back in 1947. On July the 8th, 1947, the Air Force came out with a newspaper release, a press release, as they call it, that they had recovered a flying saucer, as they were known in those days. Well, the next day, with another banner headline, they took it away. They pulled the rug out from the Roswell story by saying that it was a weather balloon that the 509th Bomb Group in Roswell had misidentified. Now, you have to believe that the men of the 509th, this is the outfit that ended World War II by dropping two atomic bombs on Japan, and in 47 still had their fingers on the atomic trigger, that they could not identify or distinguish between a interplanetary craft and a tinfoil and rubber weather balloon. You have to believe that they couldn't distinguish between that. Are those the people that you want to have their fingers on the atomic trigger? I don't think so. So the story was covered up for 30 years. It began leaking in 1972, actually, but it really began leaking in 1978 when Jesse Marcel, the base intelligence officer at Roswell in 47, started talking. So it's been leaking ever since. Our investigation has amassed over 600 first and secondhand witnesses to an extraterrestrial event, and the Air Force still sticks to their modified balloon story and dime store mannequins, we call them dummies from the sky, explanation for the little bodies. That's their story today. They have no witnesses to that, by the way, zero witnesses to that to support their end of the story, where we have over 600.
Tom, I've got to ask, did the film about Roswell do people like you a disservice, or did it help with the myth?
I'm sorry, I misunderstood the question.
The film, there was a film about Roswell, which was a box office smash. Did that film, do films like that, do you a disservice, or do they make people want to know more?
Well, if you're talking about the alien autopsy video, is that what you're talking?
Yeah.
Yes, that does a disservice, just like Annie Jacobson's new book, Area 51, where she has a... it's either a chapter or an 11-page addendum on Roswell, which is just absolutely a fantasy. by claiming that it was a prank by Joseph Stalin and Joseph Mengele, the angel of Auschwitz, so to speak, to scare Americans. A complete fantasy, as was the alien autopsy, where I understand money did change hands, does a disservice because it puts in the mind of the public the seed that, well, all of this is just a hoax, a bunk. They don't know what they're talking about. Everything is a joke, and it does a disservice to the serious investigators like myself who have spent decades on this case and have uncovered over 600 witnesses who have gone on the record about this. So, yes, you're absolutely correct. A big disservice with shows like The Alien Autopsy and the latest book, Area 51, that just came out, is something that, you know, we have to put up with. But I will say, Peter, that every endeavor has detractors. Every endeavor that's successful has hoaxers wanting to cash in without really doing the work.
Tom, I've got to ask you, you've got 600 witnesses. What of all your witnesses, one of your main star witnesses, tell us what they've seen, and what they've said.
Well, one of the main star witnesses is described in our book, Witness to Roswell. His name is Walter Haupt, and Walter was the public information officer at the Roswell Air Base in 1947 that he delivered the press release that they had recovered a flying saucer north of town. And all the years that we knew Walter, and we knew Walter for about 20 years, the last 20 years of his life, a finer gentleman you will never meet. He had always said, well, I delivered the press release, but that's all I know. Well, we knew that he had to know more. He was right in the middle of everything. He had to know more, and he did tell us in a posthumous statement that we had him put together before he died, a couple of years before he died. We had him put it together, and upon his death, we opened it, and he did. It was a confession that he had seen the bodies, that he had seen the wreckage. Yes, it was from another planet, another world, that the wreckage and bodies that he saw, and that he had promised his commanding officer, William Butch Blanchard, that he would never talk about it while he was alive. So he did come clean with a posthumous statement to the effect that, yes, everything that we were investigating and our conclusions were correct, that it was an interplanetary craft with crew that had crashed north of Roswell in 1947. So I would say that probably he and Jesse Marcel, who actually started the investigation with his confession that he had handled pieces of a spaceship in 1947, and that it wasn't a weather balloon. I would put them, those two, at the top of the list.
I'm talking to Tom Carey over in America about Witness to Roswell. Tom, what do you want people to take from this book? What do you want when they've read it and put it down? What do you want them to take from it?
Well, Peter, everything that we've gotten, the feedback from Witness to Roswell, is people are astounded at the wealth of information that we have added to the Roswell case. Most people think, oh, well, you know, there's nothing new there, but people have are just ecstatic about the depth of the information. We name names. We don't talk about anonymous sources. We name names. They go on the record, and it's probably the consensus best book on Roswell ever written because of its depth and breadth of the goings-on at the Roswell base and thereafter. The other thing is that the extent to which that the Air Force went to cover up this story, that would include death threats and possible follow-throughs on the death threats to keep this story covered up. The Air Force in the United States will never admit to UFOs, one of the reasons being that they do not want to answer questions about what they did back at Roswell in 1947. So I would leave you with this, Peter, that we've had one fellow who bought our book. He said to me in an email, he said that he read it 7 times in a row.
Wow.
Because he didn't want to miss anything. So it's a good read. And we've had people read it in one sitting, and they are just, pleased as punch, as someone once said about the book's content and breadth. They had no idea that there was so much information about this case.
Tom, you've been researching since 1991. What I've got to ask you is, you're a gentleman of years, and hopefully many, many more years, but before you die, what do you want from all this research? What do you actually want before you pass from this earth?
Well, what I would hope is that we will find the Holy Grail of Roswell, that being a piece of so-called memory metal. This is the metal that witnesses have told us that they hold it in their hands, or they held it in their hands. They could wad it up in their hands and then hold it over a flat surface, and it would just flatten right out without a crease before it hit the table. So what I'm hoping for is that we do find the Holy Grail, which will put this case to rest once and for all. You won't have to send it out to a metal laboratory to determine its isotopic structure, and where people can disagree as to whether it's from this earth or not. The memory metal, you can see just by looking at it and by doing the simple wadding it up in your hands and letting it go, you can tell that we still don't have anything like it. So that's what I would hope for. And I would hope for that everybody buys our book.
Forget the metal. Let's talk about the book. Tom, where do you think the metal is?
Where do I think that the matter is?
The metal. Is it hidden?
Oh, the metal.
Yeah.
Certainly there are pieces still out there in the desert, on the desert floor, covered up by 64 years of wind and rain erosion. There are also pieces with ranchers outside of Roswell, because it's always the ranchers who get the crashes first, whether they're terrestrial or extraterrestrial. It's always the local ranchers that get there first. Also, some of the military people who were involved have pieces. We know that. So from any one of those three sources, we hope that someone will come forward with a piece. Barring that, we intend to conduct another archaeological dig out in the desert where this metal came down after the ship exploded. So from one of those sources, we hope to gain a piece.
Tom, it's a big question, but with a shortish answer. What do you think is out there? In your opinion, what do you think is out? Wait, I mean, I'm not stupid enough to believe that there can't be any life out there. And we can never be that surely ignorant to think that we are the only beings in this whole whatever it is out there. What are your opinions on it?
Well, I'll leave you with Carl Sagan's opinion, the American astronomer, or the late American astronomer from Cornell, who was no UFO buff, but he speculated before he died that in the Milky Way galaxy alone, that's our galaxy, there were at least 1 million advanced intelligences, in his opinion. So that's a pretty high number. If you extrapolate that to the rest of the universe, you're talking, as he would say, billions and billions of advanced intelligences. So everybody believes that. I happen to believe, based on 1947, that at least one of those intelligences unfortunately crashed to Earth upon a visit.
How long did it take to write the book, Tom?
Well, we wrote 2 editions. Based on our Don Schmidt and I have been a team since 1998. We've both been on the case for over 20 years, and it's based on over 20 years a wealth of investigation. It took about 4 months.
Tom Carey, witness to Roswell, thank you very much for talking to us.
Peter, it's been my extreme pleasure.
Liverpool's biggest after-hours talk show, Late Night City, with Pete Price on Radio City 96.7 and City Talk 105.9.